Okay, so we spent some time in the last session just preparing our hearts, submitting to the Lord, allowing him to speak to us, allowing him to do some work in us and prepare us. And we're moving on to think about now being guided by the presence of the Lord. And we're going to think about how the Holy Spirit guides us. So it's important to think about being in the right position and getting ourselves in the right place for the Lord to be able to lead us and guide us. But Romans chapter 8 says, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And I want to start off just by picking up another Old Testament image, another Old Testament manifestation of the presence of God and the way that that led the people of Israel. So we're just going to look at Exodus chapter 13, just for a few moments, and the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that would go before the people of Israel as they moved through the wilderness, as they moved through the desert, as God led them on their journey, on their pilgrimage, eventually to the promised land, although it took much longer than it should have done because of their disobedience. So Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. So the people of Israel, they've come out of their slavery in Egypt. They've been set free from their slavery to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. They've come through the Red Sea. The Red Sea was split before them, and they were delivered from Pharaoh and his armies, and they're being led through the wilderness by the Lord. And in chapter 13, verse 17, we read, "Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, 'God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you.' So they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So we're seeing another manifestation of the presence of God in the Old Testament, in the story of the children of Israel. And now it's being manifested as a pillar of cloud by day to lead them forwards, to lead them, to show them where to go, where to rest, when to rest, when to rise up and move forward. And a pillar of fire by night, so they could make the most of all that time traveling during the day and during the night. And I'm just going to say a few quick things about this. First of all, in verse 18, we read that it's slightly old-fashioned language or unusual language in my translation there, that God led the people around by the way of the wilderness. The sons of Israel went up in martial array. In martial array, that means they went up as an army. They went up as an army. They were arranged and prepared and clothed and organized as an army. And if you're going to lead a very, very, very large number of people through the desert, they've got to be a bit organized. They've got to have a bit of organization. And this really, I suppose, is a word for us as churches and as groups of churches. And sometimes as churches grow and as moves of God grow and time moves on and generations moves on, things can become very static and very structured and very institutional, sometimes to the point where the life just isn't there anymore. And instead of having what Jesus perhaps would have called a new wineskin that is flexible and that can hold the new intoxicating, fermenting wine, the work of the Spirit that's happening, it becomes very stiff and unable to move. And it can't hold the work of the Spirit, and it just becomes a stiff and lifeless structure. But nonetheless, there is something positive about organization and order and structure. And that's because when we signed up to follow Jesus, we did sign up to be part of the Lord's army, the Lord Jesus, the captain of the armies of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. And there is a spiritual battle in this universe, and we are enlisted. The Apostle Paul says to us that we're not to get too caught up in civilian affairs, because we've signed up to the Lord's army. And if you're in the army, you can't afford to be in the wrong position or the wrong place at the wrong time. You can't afford to ignore your commander's instructions. You need to be in an orderly structure so that when the army needs to move, they can go. They can move because they're organized. They're ready to go as one people. So actually, if as long as it's a Holy Spirit inspired order, and remember, Paul says that God is a God of order and of peace. As long as the Holy Spirit, it's a Holy Spirit inspired order, and it's a body that can move and can keep the life rather than a body that is stiff and dead. Long as it's a Holy Spirit inspired structure and order, it's very, very helpful for the Lord to be able to use us as a church and as a body of people together and as a movement or group of churches, so that when the Lord says, time to go this way, we're ready to move. And that there's also leadership. It's good to have recognized leadership, because the Lord did use Moses to lead the people. He used Moses. He raised him up and he commissioned him, and he said, okay, I'm going to lead this people, but I'm going to use Moses to do it. So the Lord does use people to lead. And it's good for us when we can recognize spiritual leadership that we're willing to get on board with and be in submission to, not in a wrong sense that people can control and manipulate. Sometimes that's been used wrongly in the church, and authority and control has been exercised in a wrong way. But where there's a spiritual relationship where we can say, yep, we know we want to move together as a body of people. We recognize that the Lord's called us to be in fellowship together. And we recognize that these people have been, person has been anointed and gifted by the Holy Spirit to lead us. So there's going to be times when the Lord speaks to them and they say, I think this is the way we need to go. And we say, yep, we're ready to move. We're ready to go. That's the part of the function of leadership. And we also need to find our own place and our right place in the army. So there will be times when we need to be away from the front line. We need to be away from the front line, perhaps because we're injured, or we need to recover, or because the Lord is waiting to deploy us somewhere else. But generally speaking, we need to know that we're, whether we like it or not, we're on the front line. And that even sometimes if we wish we weren't, unfortunately, there is an enemy who prowls around like a lion. And he's not always going to pay much attention to us if we're wanting to take a spiritual holiday. A spiritual rest in the right sense is good and is the important thing. But sometimes we just switch off in the flesh, don't we? And just indulge our flesh, and we just don't want to, we don't want to have our kind of spiritual antenna up. And we can make ourselves very vulnerable to the enemy. Even when we're resting, we want to be resting in God, and we want to be resting in his presence. And we want to be knowing that he's giving us some kind of refreshment and break away from the front line. But it's always going to be sooner or later to be back there, because as Ephesians 6 says, we stand against the enemy in the full armor, the armor of a Roman soldier. That's part of our Christian That is our Christian life. That is our Christian life. We're signed up in the army to be armed and to be ready and to resist the evil one together. That happens through prayer. That happens through speaking his word, through speaking the truth. That happens through worship. That happens through sharing the good news. That happens through acts of love. All of those are the ways that we extend the kingdom of God and stand against the evil one. But it is important that we know our place in the army, because if we are isolated on our own, or if we are not in the place that our commanding officer, the Lord Jesus, would have us, we can become vulnerable to the enemy. And it's very often the enemy's strategy to try and isolate us and to try and draw us away from fellowship. Because obviously, if you're on your own in the battlefield, you can be picked off much more easily. And we had, I'm going to mention prayer and fasting a few times in this session. Because simply in my experience, and we could talk about it from the scriptures, but simply in my experience, it's been very key in terms of guidance. And we pray and fast. Jesus says, in the days that you don't have the bridegroom with you, you'll pray and fast. So we pray and fast because we want more of the Lord's presence, and we want to be less preoccupied with our flesh and with our fleshly appetites and our fleshly hungers, so that we can be a little bit more sensitive spiritually and a little bit more seeking his presence and an awareness of his presence, and to hear and engage with the Lord and be more sensitive in the spirit, which is why very often when we fast, we hear God clearly and we hear important things from God, because we're closing down the constant voice of the constant desire of our flesh, or all I'm thinking about is eating or how I can please my flesh at the moment. And we kind of quieten those things down a little bit, and we become spiritually more hungry and spiritually more sensitive. Because Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when you fast and you stop eating your bread, you start saying, oh, Lord, I really need more of your words, because I'm really hungry now, Lord. I want some bread. But I know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. So, Lord, I want to hear you, please. I want to hear what you're saying. He's always speaking. And we had a prophetic word in the prayer community. I don't know if any of you know about the Ichthus prayer community, but it's basically every Tuesday and every Thursday, there's a group of people, and people from around Ichthus in London, they come and join and pray together. However the Holy Spirit leads, worship and listening to God. Sometimes we might pray about things that are going on in the nation. Very often we'll be covering things that are happening in the fellowship in prayer. Needs for healing, different needs that are happening, overseas workers. Just however the Lord leads, that there's that kind of heartbeat of prayer going on at the center of Ichthus. And we usually in January, we start the year with some prayer and fasting together. It's never an enforced thing, but people are invited, if they want to spend some time fasting in the first week of January and seeking the Lord together for what he's saying for the new year. And there was a very significant word that kept on being repeated from some different people a couple of years ago about the Lord reorganizing some of his army, reorganizing some of the ranks, and that there were some people who were in the front line that needed to move slightly and come back so that they would be covered and protected by those around them, and that there are other people who would be stepping out to the forefront. And he was just rearranging things a bit. So we need to know that the Lord has got us placed just where he wants us in the army, partly so that we are we're covered and protected because we've got our brothers and sisters each side of us and in front of us, or that we know that if we are stepping out in some way spiritually, that we're confident that it's because the Lord is with us and he's called us to do that, so he won't leave us high and dry, but we can step out in that way. Yonggi Cho, the leader of the largest church in the world, or certainly was the largest church in the world, South Korea, he talks about the Holy Spirit being his senior partner, like his senior partner in business. So he's constantly living in a way that whatever the Holy Spirit says goes. So we need to know that we're in that kind of order and that we're in the right place. And sometimes, now when we're in this place, the Lord is able to lead us and he's able to guide us. He's able to lead us and guide us corporately, but also individually, which we're going to think about a bit more in a moment. But when we do that, one of the things that happens is he will lead us so that we don't end up fighting unnecessary battles. Verse 17 says, when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. So they could have done a very short route into the promised land. But God led them deliberately on a longer route. And it's because he knew that they weren't ready and he needed to prepare them in a number of ways. And he said the people might change their minds when they see war and they might return to Egypt. So he knew that there were battles that way. So if the people hadn't been following the Lord, they would have ended up having to fight some unnecessary battles. And they would have got very discouraged, so much so that they might have even gone back to Egypt, gone back to slavery, because they were so discouraged at their defeat. And sometimes, because we haven't been following the Holy Spirit, following the guidance of the Lord, we end up fighting battles that are unnecessary, that we didn't need to fight. And sometimes we end up getting defeated in areas in ways that were unnecessary. And the Lord wants to lead us so that we only fight the battles that he is leading us into. And it might be that there's some of us this morning, we need to kind of be restored in that way. And that discouragement and that disappointment in, hang on, we've fought these battles, all these things seem to have come against us and we've lost and I've lost courage. We need to perhaps have that restored and have our confidence and our courage restored, that actually if we can get back into the army in the right position and we can be following the Lord again, that actually we can be confident that it's the Lord who fights our battles, and that because we're following him, we don't need to worry about being defeated and being knocked back again. Sometimes he takes us a longer route for a reason. Sometimes he takes us a longer route for a reason. Because often, even when we are really going for what the Lord has called us to do, there will be battles. There will be things to overcome. And sometimes, even though we can see that that is what where the Lord is calling us, we know, okay, he wants us to go that way to the promised land and he's got purposes for us over there. Sometimes he needs to take us a bit of a longer route because we need to be prepared to be able, they weren't ready for the war yet. We need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared for the kind of perseverance and determination it's going to come to follow through with our calling. There's something important, I think, in these verses about honouring our spiritual heritage. In verse 19, it says about Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. So when the sons of Israel were set free from Egypt, they were actually experiencing something that Joseph had prophesied. He said, one day you're going to get free of all this. One day the Lord's going to take you out of here. And when you do, carry me up with you. Carry my bones up with you. So they knew they were honoring their spiritual heritage. They were honoring where they come from. And even Jesus does this. Remember, Jesus submits himself to John the Baptist. Okay, he doesn't submit himself to the Pharisees and to the temple and all that religious institution. But he recognizes John the Baptist as the spiritual man of God that's gone before him. And Jesus honors him. And he submits to that spiritual heritage, that spiritual flow. And he says, John, I want to be baptized for you. John says, Lord, I am not worthy even to untie your sandals. But Jesus says, no, this is to fulfill all righteousness. It needs to be this way. He knew how important it was to honor and to come under that spiritual heritage and to recognize that. And just this, I'll say one thing about this last verse, verse 22. It says, in my translation, it says, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And literally, I've got the note in my margin that literally is translated, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, did not depart, did not depart. And I just want to encourage you, in stepping out in faith to follow the Lord and to follow the Holy Spirit where he's leading, in living by faith and in living and walking in the light of where God is calling you, that he will not depart. He will not leave you. You won't be left high and dry. There won't be a point where you think, okay, well, I'm pretty sure the Lord's leading this way, but then what's going to happen about this? And then what's going to happen about that? And then what will be the answer here and the answer there? We need to work through with wisdom many practical things. When the Lord calls us and when he speaks prophetically, we need to work them through with wisdom. But we can't have all the answers of the future all the way up ahead. We can't work everything out in the natural. We need to be able to say, I know God's leading this way, so I'm going to walk in it, and I'm going to trust that when we get further up the road, he is not going to depart from us. He's not going to leave us. He's going to keep leading us. He will not depart from us. And it's the Lord himself that is in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire in verse 21. And he's promised to never leave us or forsake us. So just a little bit of testimony. Again, I said I was going to share some more bits of our story. So I shared just a little bit about following the cloud and walking by faith. I was hearing a lovely story from Ian and Gunilla over breakfast about the Lord leading them on some adventures over the last couple of years by faith. And I told you a little bit of my story of the Lord really setting me on fire again for Jesus and for the church, filling me with his spirit and a real desire to be part of his church and to love and to serve the local church again in my life. And that led on to lots of things. One of the things that happened very early on was that a very godly man came alongside me, and he was talking to me. He was the leader of our church. He was the pastor. And he said, I said to him, I'm just so happy to be back at church, so happy to be back in local church. I just want to serve in whatever way I can, whatever's needed. You know, the obvious thing, is I love to lead worship and play in that. I've done a lot of that in the past. But, you know, I just, whatever is going, I just want to get involved and I just want to serve. And in the course of some of those conversations, he says to me, what is the Lord calling you to? What is the Lord calling you to? And I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but I just spurged out loads and loads and loads of stuff. I said, oh, well, there's this and this could be this. And I feel, passionate about this. And he's spoken to me about this once, but then maybe that and what that and all these kind of things, this big kind of splurge of stuff. Basically, I didn't know. I had lots of thoughts possibly, but I didn't really have any clarity. And he encouraged me, some of the best advice I've ever been given. He encouraged me to deliberately pray and fast regularly over a number of months. And he said, deliberately seek the Lord and ask him what he's calling you to do, and expect him to answer you. Expect him to answer you. And over a period of a few months, I did that. And I fasted every week and I prayed. And sometimes more successfully than others. but I did that consistently. And what happened was the Lord didn't give me he didn't download a detailed 5-year plan or job description. He didn't give me a 10-year plan, or he didn't say, okay, you need to go and apply for this job, or you need to go to this place to do that. No, but he does do that for some people, I'm sure. But what happened with me is there were a number of things, 4 or 5 things, and 1 or 2 in particular, that he repeatedly spoke to me about, and that grew and grew and grew on my heart as passions, to the point where a few months later, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I could say, well, I don't have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, but I know that God is calling me to these things. These are the really important things that he is calling out of me that in my life to do. And for me, one of those things was to really devote time to studying the Word of God. And that led me on a journey and then a bit of an adventure with that. And there were some other things as well. And there were some different things to do with music as well. But and there were some things that he just put on my heart generally. Concern for the poor and needy and some other things. I won't go into the details of them. But what happened was, from that point onwards, with every major life decision I came to, every choice, I had kind of some things that I knew were the most important things. So when it came to those decisions, I thought, okay, I'm going to go this way because I know that this is what the Lord has put on my heart to do and what he's called me to do. And I'm going to take this step. So that's one way. That's one way it happens. And I'm going to kind of to illustrate that, and I'm going to share another story in a moment. I want to say some things from the book of Acts. Because how does this play out in the New Testament? Well, I've already said that in Romans chapter 8, it says, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And I love the way that this emerges in the book of Acts. Because I don't know if you remember the story right at the beginning of the book of Acts, chapter 1, where they're all together in the upper room and they're praying. And then Peter stands up and he says to them, it's really important that we replace Judas. Judas was one of the 12. We have a really important job as the 12. The Lord particularly called us and chose us to do a very important task. That task is not over. And we're one man down because we haven't got Judas anymore. So we need to pick another one of the guys who's been with us right from the beginning, right from in verse 22 of chapter 1, the baptism of John until the day that he, Jesus, was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. The 12, they were witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. They could testify to the resurrection of Jesus. So they put forward two men who fitted those qualifications, and they prayed, verse 24, and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And in verse 26, they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. So they drew lots. And this was something they did quite a lot in the Old Testament. They cast lots. I don't know if you made any of your church decisions recently by casting lots. I won't ask. But they prayed and they drew lots. They said, whichever one comes up, that's the one the Lord chooses. But the really interesting thing about this is that this is the last place that this happens in the whole of Scripture. Happened lots in the Old Testament. Still happens right up until replacing the 12th apostle. But then this is the last recorded place in the whole of Scripture that happens. Why? Well, the very next thing that happens in verse 1 of chapter 2 is when the day of Pentecost had come. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. John said, he is the one who's coming to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire, to immerse you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And here they are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And now we have something in the New Covenant which is different to what they had in the Old Testament. The indwelling Holy Spirit. Many times in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for power to prophesy and to perform mighty deeds and miracles. It would clothe people and come upon them. And that still seems to happen in the Acts of the Apostles. As we are saying, the power of God comes upon Peter. And it says things like, having just been filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter spoke the word with boldness, with courage, or prophesied, or they healed. It still comes, the Holy Spirit still comes and clothes people with power certain times and occasions. But what they have now is the constant, continuous, indwelling Holy Spirit living in us. And from this point onwards, in the book of Acts and in Scripture, we don't read any more casting lots to make a decision. No more throwing the dice to make a decision. But what we do read about over and over again is the Holy Spirit guides them in their decision making. The Holy Spirit leads them where to go and what to do. Acts 10 chapter 9, we read about Peter having a vision. And remember back in chapter 2, the prophecy of Joel is quoted that your young men will see visions. The old men will dream dreams. This is a part of the Holy Spirit being poured out, experience of the new age. Peter sees a vision, and in that vision, he's given the instruction that he needs to say that the gospel is now going to go out to all the nations, not just the nation of Israel, but all the nations. And it's a big shock to Peter, because he's a very patriotic Jew and he can't get his head around it. But he also can't argue with what the Holy Spirit is saying. So the Holy Spirit leads Peter to make this huge decision about the future of the church and the gospel, and a decision that is going to cause the good news of Jesus to go out into the whole world and to eventually reach us over here in Britain or wherever we might have come from. the wonderful Celtic church and all that went on over here in Britain, but wherever we come from, it's because of that decision that the gospel has eventually reached us. And then in Acts chapter 16 is Paul's missionary journey. Paul was told at the beginning of when he was converted that he was God's chosen vessel to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and he writes elsewhere that he was set apart from his mother's womb. So the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul what God had marked him to do right from his mother's womb. And here in Acts chapter 16, he's being guided. In verse 6, as he travels with his team, as he always did, it says, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So they're thinking about moving up into Asia, but the Holy Spirit says, nope, that's not where you're meant to be going. Carry on in this direction. So verse 7, after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So they carry on their journey, and this time they're thinking of going down here, but the Spirit doesn't permit them. So they're going to keep on going this way. They're being guided by the indwelling Holy Spirit, the witness of the Holy Spirit, the testimony of the Holy Spirit. They're learning to follow where the Holy Spirit living in them is leading them, and that's how they're making their decisions about where to go. And in verse 8, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul. Visions is what happens. Pentecost, Holy Spirit's poured out. Your young men will see visions. A vision appeared to Paul. And because of the vision, just like the vision appeared to Peter, a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. So the Holy Spirit is guiding them. And it says also there, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they did think about it. They thought, hang on, we've seen this vision, what does it mean? And the conclusion they came to was, God's calling us to go to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit is guiding them. And then in chapter 20, verses 23 to 24, verse 22, Paul says, and now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul knows what his calling is. He knows from God, he has discovered, and it's been revealed to him, he knows what he's on this planet to do, what has been set apart to do from his mother's womb, and he's got a goal, and his life is all about getting this good news out to the nations. He knows that's what he's going to do. And in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to do. And that was the time to go. So he's got this general course and calling for his life. But along the way, the Holy Spirit is guiding him. Okay, not this way, that way. Here's another crossroads decision point. This is the way to go. Now I've seen a vision. Let's think about it. Let's pray about it. Okay, I think that means we're called to go over this way. The Holy Spirit is guiding them every step of the way. And now Paul says, even though the Holy Spirit is testifying that I'm going to face afflictions and suffering in this city, I know that that's my course and I've got to go there and I've got to finish it. And that will be the case. And I think sometimes we discount ourselves from what God is really calling us to. Sometimes we have this kind of wrong understanding that we kind of have a picture of God that it, whatever is the thing that we don't really want to do the most, or the hardest thing, or the worst thing, that must be what God's telling us to do, because it must be some religious, miserable, that must be the best and most holy thing to do. But the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. They're not no. They're not no to all your heart's desires. They're not no to all the gifts he's put in you, or the DNA that he's given you that means you're passionate about certain things. But those things only find their fulfillment in Christ, and when they're done for him and led by the Holy Spirit, and when they're poured out of service to him. So what I really want for us is to kind of have both those things, to kind of have in our lives a growing sense of what the Lord has particularly called us to do. And it may change from season to season. Sometimes you go through a season and a few years later, it may be that you have to come back to God and say, okay, am I still on the right track here? And in different seasons of our life, he draws out different gifts that perhaps you didn't think you had, or perhaps you're going to operate in this in a new way in this season of your life. But still, we can have a conviction of, this is what the Lord is calling me to. I know what I'm here for. For me, that's been certain life verses. I don't know if you understand what I mean when I say life verses, but they're particular verses from the scripture that the Lord has spoken so clearly and so strongly to me and laid on my heart so clearly that I know that sums up a lot of what my life is about for him, and that I keep coming back to. And when I'm kind of wandering and doubting and depressed or discouraged or confused or not sure of the way ahead, I come back to those words. But I know God said this, and I know this is who I am in Christ. So I'm going to keep moving forwards in the light of that. And we remember what he said. I really want to pray that for us. But I also want to pray this sense of being led by the Holy Spirit. And I quoted Romans 8 before, and those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. But earlier on in that chapter, it says this. Romans 8 verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And it's where we have that, it resonates in our Holy Spirit, that there's like this kind of confirmation of life and peace, where you just think, ah, yes, that's the right thing. Yes, that's the way to go. And that's the witness of the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit testifying with our conscience, is where the life and peace. And we begin to recognize it more and more as we walk by faith and as we walk with the Spirit. Just debating whether to tell you a little bit more of our story or whether to share this particular thing. When Emily and I, it's before we were engaged, and we were in Leeds, and as I said, one of the things that I felt very called to do was to devote time and energy to study and studying the Bible and studying the Word. And I did this in a number of ways, but eventually I felt very called that I needed to go and train with ICTHUS in London, and that was actually the best place for me to go at that time and to be trained, and that's what I needed to do. And Emily and I were at a point where our relationship was serious. We were considering marriage, and so this was a big decision. She was living in Leeds. She still had her studies to finish, and I wanted to go to London to train. So we both prayed, we both fasted. There were a number of prophetic words that we came to the conclusion together that, yes, this was the right time for me to move. And even though in the natural it seemed really awkward, she had been living in another country actually already for a significant amount of our relationship. And now we'd ended up in the same place again, and I was talking about moving away to London. It didn't seem very helpful in the natural. But we both felt, yes, we think this is the right time. This is where the Lord's leading. And I didn't have two pennies to rub together at that time. In fact, I had a good bit of debt. But Oh, I had a little bit of debt anyway. And the amazing thing that happened was that some money came in and was provided. I actually put all my guitars up for sale on the internet. I had several guitars. I've been working as a musician. And that was kind of a big deal for me. And looking back, I'm not 100% sure it was the right thing to do. But it was definitely a step of faith. I was like, I know this is where God's leading. I'm not going down that particular route that I was going down before. I don't need all these guitars. I'm going to sell them because I need the money to do it. And the wonderful thing was someone got in touch with me, someone who had the spiritual gift of giving, and they said, we want to give you the money to keep whichever is the best of your guitars. So that was lovely. That was wonderful. they'd seen me advertising them on the internet, and that was great. And the other thing that happened was my acoustic guitar, which I used to lead worship, got stolen from our church. So I was borrowing guitars, leading worship loads, and I was just borrowing guitars all the time. And some of you know Chris Orange. And he had a beautiful, wonderful guitar, which was just exactly the kind of thing that I would have chosen. And it had a crack in the front, so he'd got this insurance for it and bought a different guitar. And he ended up giving it to me, and I got it repaired for 40 quid. It was almost as good as new. So I put all my guitars up for sale to go and move to London to train, following the Lord in faith. And he gave back to me my favourite electric guitar and my dream acoustic guitar for free. So that was pretty good. And then within sort of 2 or 3 months of this course starting, I think I needed about £3,000 or more than that to do the year and living expenses and all the rest of it. And the whole lot came in by about November. It was the whole lot all paid up for the year ahead. And, you know, I think I'd gone in with, like I said, a few £100 of debt, and that has gone as well. So anyway, that's a little bit of faith following the Lord. And then it's gone on like that, step by step for us. I won't give you any more blow by blow. Maybe as we, I'll do a bit more later. But, you know, where we lived, where we were going to go to church, didn't know what we were going to do for a job. Okay, Lord, we're here now. What job am I going to get? Okay, here's a little part-time job. Okay, here's something for Emily, but it's not, you know, everything step by. Where are we going to live? Well, I can't afford a flat in London. Okay, we'd somehow managed to get this flat. And every step of the way, these things just kept opening up. And living by faith looks different for every single one of us. Because it depends what the Lord's telling you to do. No one else is in your situation. No one else is in your position. No one else has got your background. No one else has got your DNA or the particular things the Lord's calling you to. No one else has got the same relationships that you've got and the same people that you can reach and touch and relate to. It's going to be unique for you, that walk of faith. And it doesn't always, sometimes it looks like the kind of what we imagine as living by faith of, you know, not having a job and just going around preaching the gospel and, the money comes in month by month. But walking by faith for you might be staying in your job. It might be. It depends where the Lord's leading you. But that, if that's what you're doing in faith, because that's where the Lord's placed you and that's where he's calling you, you can be in faith that he's going to provide what you need if you're seeking first the kingdom. And that he's going to make you fruitful and effective there. And that if you're doing it in faith, whatever you do out of faith and obedience to him is going to have an eternal fruitfulness and an eternal impact and an eternal benefit. And then also, as you go on in that kind of way, you just find that you end up doing these small little things out of obedience and faith that don't seem like much to you or anyone else. But then the Lord uses them in the most incredible. He just multiplies the impact of them. And you think, my goodness, all that's come from it. And that was nothing that I did, really. It's just because I've managed to somehow get myself on the same wavelength as the Holy Spirit for a bit. So, okay, that's a little bit of story. But last thing I'll say before we pray is this. Sometimes what I've been saying is we want to be guided by life and peace. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So, okay, we pray about it, we talk about it, we think about it, and yeah, me and the Holy Spirit, there's peace. Life, this is the way to go. Oh, the sense of life is really important. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know if you're like me, but that was how I was one time. I was like, you know, there were things where I thought, I would love to go and do that. And really, that's what the Lord was calling me to. But I thought, I can't be got, you know, got really, it's this way seems really dry and dead and dreary and sacrificial. So this must be what the Lord's calling me to. So don't just assume that, you know, the things that he's put in your heart, that's how he's made you like that. Now, okay, if you're just going down a route because you're ignoring him, not paying any attention and not really trying to put him first at all, like Steph was saying the other night about getting him in the first place, other things fall into place. But if you've got him in the first place, he starts to affirm some of those desires of your heart. And he starts to affirm some of those things. Yes, that's something I've put in you. That's something that gives me pleasure. That's something that I want you to use for me. And I want to enjoy it with you. And I want to make it much more effective and much better than you could ever have done it on your own. But we want to be guided by life and peace. But sometimes we get into a place where we can't see the wood for the trees. Has anyone ever experienced that? You've got a decision to make and you go backwards and forwards so much, or it becomes so involved and so difficult that you just can't find any peace and you can't see the wood for the trees. Has anyone else ever felt like that, or is it just me? Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just me. We're on the right track. So I just want to say a few thoughts that I have about that and maybe some simple steps. And I've actually taken these from Exodus chapter 33, which we don't have time to go through now, but that's where I've taken these practical steps from. And it's where God says to Moses, it's after the golden calf, the terrible sin and idolatry the people have been involved in, and God says to Moses, right, you carry on up to the I mentioned it yesterday as well, didn't I, up to the promised land, and but I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to go with you. And the result of that is that Moses prays. Actually, the first thing that happens is, I'll just take you through these steps. If we have time to look at it in the passage at another point, maybe we will. But first of all, there's confession and repentance. Now, we've already done that this morning. But there's confession and repentance, because there's been very, very serious rebellion and very, very serious sin. So Moses, in a sense, leads the people in that. And then he worships. He goes up to the tent and he worships face to face, as we've been talking about. And it speaks about how his face glows from and shines from the presence of God. And there's restoration of relationship. Moses prays and he almost reminds God, saying, you've called us. You've called us by name. And he says, he's restoring that relationship with the Lord. And what we're seeing in Moses is that having that face-to-face relationship with the Lord is more important to him than even fulfilling the calling, than even doing the work. And this very sad thing is, we can do God's work without him. We can do the religious stuff without God. We can even fulfill the calling he's given us. We can get so obsessed by this is who God's called me to be and what he's called me to do, that we actually forget we're meant to do it with him and for him. And Moses, what he does is he restores that relationship first. And where it ends up is that you hear the cry of Moses' heart towards the end of the passage. What he really cares about is, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. And what it is that they will be a people. And Moses says in verse 16, how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? So it's not anything wonderful or clever or brilliant that we achieve or that we do that's going to distinguish us from everyone else on the earth. It's that the Lord is with us. That the Lord is with us. That's what's meant to mark us out from the others. So, okay, these simple steps. Number one, confession and repentance of sin. Submit your life completely to the Lord. If you know there's something that you need to deal with, that you need to repent of. Bring it into the light. Get it dealt with. Number two, worship. Number three, restore relationship with the Lord. Prayer. Worship and prayer with his presence. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just go through the routine of it. But come before him face to face. Seek his face and come away knowing that you've met with God. And that you've got his peace. Number four, remember your calling and key prophetic words that he's given you. So remember, what are the things he's spoken to me in the past that I can hang on to now? And if in doubt, hold your course. It's some advice that Rick Joyner gives, that when things get confusing, it's like pilots, when the plane instruments start to go wrong and they're in the clouds and they're a bit lost, if they have to hold their course until they come out and they can see the way. So remember what's the Lord said to me before? What's the course he set me on? Until I can see things a bit more clearly, I'm going to hold that course until things come clear. Remember the things he said before. Remember the words he's spoken over you. If you don't have those things, then just deliberately seek him and ask him, Lord, what is it you're saying to me in my life? Who are you calling me to be for you? What are you calling me to do for you? Number five, ask for wisdom. James 1 talks about not being a double-minded man tossed this way and that way. But if you need wisdom, just ask him for it and trust him. So sometimes we actually have to make a decision to the best of the wisdom we can manage with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I once really went... I was so bad at making decisions, honestly. And I went backwards and forwards over this life decision and for months and months and months and months. And eventually what I realized was the Lord was saying to me is, I want you to get better at making decisions. I want to teach you about making decisions. And there's no way you can do that if I make the decision for you. You've got to make the decision. I'm giving you wisdom, weigh these things up, and you choose which is the best thing. And I think as far as he's concerned, even if I'd have got that one wrong and a few more ones wrong, he still could have got me on the right track. And there was no other way he could teach me about making decisions unless I actually took responsibility and made a decision. So ask for wisdom and make a decision. And then lastly, second to last, number six, I call it, have courage to follow your peace. Have courage to follow your peace. The more you seek to follow the Holy Spirit and to walk by faith and to walk by be obedient to the small things that he's saying to you and to follow where he's leading with the life and peace, the more you begin to recognize it and have confidence in it. But you need to have courage to do that. I had no idea until recently that I'd actually sort of been operating in the gift of discernment a bit. There'd been a number of situations where I'd thought about someone or something. I thought, ooh, I'd had a very strong impression about a situation or about a person. And I'd talked myself out of it. And I said, oh, don't be so judgmental. You know, that's terrible. And it was largely thanks to Faith Forster, but also because several times that happened and then something came out further down the line or something went wrong and I thought, oh my goodness, I was right. That wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. But I didn't recognize it. Now, obviously, you know, I think we're a bit short, we're a bit lacking sometimes in the gift of discernment in the church, in our churches at the moment. So we need to refine it. And it doesn't mean you can just go around, you know, and actually the best thing to do if you ever have that sense or that caution or something that you think it might be from those fit, best thing to do is pray. Don't start going trying to set people straight. But we've got to have courage to follow our peace. And I've done the same thing with making decisions. There's been things where I thought, oh, I just don't feel peaceful about that. I don't feel peaceful about doing that. But because I couldn't think of a good enough reason to say no, I carried on and did it. And it went, every time it sort of, I get a bit further down the line, I think, oh, that's why I shouldn't have done this. I'm too busy and I've got this to do and I've got that to do and now I can't keep all my commitments. Da, 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 da. And I should have listened to the peace that the Holy Spirit was showing me in the first place. So we've got to have a bit of courage. And for me, sometimes it means I haven't processed all the reasons why this is not right and why, and this is the way to go. But I know that I don't have peace about going that way, and I need to go with that. And it comes clearer later, and I think, oh, phew, yeah, that was the right decision. So have courage to follow your peace. And then the last thing is fast and pray. I've mentioned fasting a lot of times, and it's just very simply, it really works. It really, just simply from experience, is there's just been so many times actually when we've really fasted and prayed that there's been real breakthroughs in hearing God and in his direction and his guiding and really significant words and significant direction for our life. So I just encourage you to do that. Do it in faith. Do it in the spirit. Don't just do it religiously or do it in the flesh. You do it, before the Lord, and don't just do it going for the sake of it, but do it because you're really seeking the Lord. And you gotta, if you're gonna fast, you've gotta be drawing on the Holy Spirit in order to be able to do it. But I would encourage you to fast and pray if you're looking for guidance in your life. Okay, right. I'm sorry, I've gone on a bit longer this morning. So let's just pray, and then we're all going to go and enjoy the sunshine this afternoon, aren't we? As I said, we would love to pray with anyone who wants to talk to us, press at any point. I know I haven't really made any time to really do that yet, but do feel free to come and grab us, or if perhaps we'll set aside some deliberate time at the end of one of the meetings. But let's pray. Yeah, Father, I thank you that you want to lead us, you do lead us, that you will never depart from us, and that we really can trust you. You're faithful, and you will lead us. You will always lead us, and you will always provide for our needs if we're seeking your kingdom first. And Lord, I just pray, as I've been speaking, if there's anything that you've been highlighting to people, perhaps there's a word that the Lord's been reminding you of, a prophetic word from the past. Perhaps there's a scripture that has been coming to your mind that's important for you as I've been speaking. Perhaps there's even a dream or a vision that's been coming back to you. Perhaps there's a passion on your heart that as I've been speaking has been kind of rising up in you, and you just think, oh, That's just a love and a joy and a passion that I have that I think might be from the Lord. Let's just recognize those things, Lord. And I pray that you would seal and confirm those things in our hearts this morning. Seal and confirm those things. And as we've got some time this afternoon, Lord, in this beautiful place, would you just be letting the things that are from you really drop down and take root in our hearts and confirming to us, Lord. And I just pray that every single person in this room to really hear your voice in a new and a deeper and a clearer way, and to know your peace and your direction in our lives. If we're stuck in a place of confusion, Lord, let all those confusing voices die down, and let your peace come to the fore, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.